my desire compares with you.
Page 20, 37.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Page 20, 41.
Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and praise. All things created, Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created, Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Page 20, 86. Let's prepare our hearts to worship as we sing, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes. Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
I got one here. Morning.
This beautiful day on the mountain. Winter is coming.
Yes.
I call your attention to the red register book. Fill it out. Pass across the other side. The blue slips on the back of your pews are for concerns and praises. Fill those out. The ushers will pick them up during the first hymn. Now, there are some things we need to call to your attention on the calendar, which is in your bulletin. The men's group will meet next Saturday, and it will be in the front room of Big Daddy's. So when you first come in, it'll be that first room on your left. Next Sunday is our annual Laity Sunday. The program has been put together by Paula Merrill, our lay leader. And Jane Sutherland will bring the message. November the 4th is All Saints Day, where we honor those who have passed away this past year, as well as any loved ones. Now, if you have anybody in particular that you want recognized, please let Pastor Francis know this week. The Mountain Messenger October edition is out. There are copies on both tables. So suggest you pick those up when you leave. On November the 24th and 25th is the Cloudcroft Market at the Cloudcroft High School presented by the Chamber of Commerce. And I want to make particular reference to the Charge Conference this afternoon. This will be the first Charge Conference with our new Pastor Francis and the first Charge Conference with our new District Superintendent, Ernie Vineyard. We would love to have a good turnout, and that's hard to get in bad weather. So I'd encourage anybody and everybody who can, please be here at 5 o'clock for our charge conference. Now, we love to greet visitors. Do we have any visitors on this wonderful, beautiful day? Anybody on this side of the church is a visitor? Anybody on this side?
Right there.
I think Barbara's got something for you. It's always rewarding when a visitor shows up in church. Ed has a statement.
I just took over as historian for the church, and we are coming up on our 50th anniversary in May.
Yay.
So we're trying to plan some activities. If you have any ideas, please get it to me or Pastor Francis, okay?
Thank you, Ed. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll worship with the prelude.
Thank you.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is found on page 395 in your Methodist hymnal. Take time to be holy. Please stand as we sing together.
Take time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. Secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before.
Turn to your bulletin for the opening words. God, you are wholly enthroned on the praises of Israel.
Your ancestors trusted. They trusted you, and you delivered them.
They trusted you, and you delivered them.
To you they cried, and they were saved. In you they trusted and were put to shame. Not put to shame.
All praise to you, now and forever.
Now we have the Apostle Creed, which you'll find on page 881 of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the prayer of confession, and we do this in unison, in your bulletin. Excuse me, we will have the song.
We sang this earlier, but it doesn't hurt to sing it again. Good words. Page 286 in the Faith We Sing book. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
To reach out and touch.
may be seated.
Now we'll join together in the prayer of confession in your bulletin. We know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. We are sure we follow them, but instead, we cannot let go of the things we think we need or what we think is important. We do not follow you or love you, O God, with all our hearts, our minds, and our strength. We refrain from giving our whole selves to you. Forgive our disobedience, our lack of commitment, and our desire to focus on material things instead of your will for us. In the name of our teacher, Jesus Christ, who gave his whole life for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Now the declaration of forgiveness. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who is every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, you can approach the throne of grace with boldness, and you will receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. In Jesus Christ, we find the forgiveness we seek. Ushers, come forward for the offering.
Praise, joyfully play on the trumpets we raise, in him all one. generosity. Does anybody know what that word means?
Being nice.
Being nice, that's good. What else?
Kind.
Giving. Very good. Sharing. Anything else? Good friend. Maybe unselfish. Do you know what that means?
Not selfish.
Very good. How are you generous? I mean, in what ways? What could you be generous in? Yes. Helping some after they fall, that's good. Share your toys, that's good. How else?
Time.
That's a hard one to share, isn't it? Your time. What were you going to say? Very good. Money does not make happiness. Let me read you this little story. Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was the biggest, fanciest sanctuary for the Hebrew people worship. For the Jews, it was the holiest place on earth. On the day of our story, Jesus had been teaching large crowds of people. When he was finished, Jesus and the disciples rested in the temple. They sat in what was called the treasury. From there, Jesus could see the people putting their offerings in the money box. They didn't pass the offering plate like we do. At the temple, folks went to the treasury and put their money in the money box whenever they felt like it. So Jesus watched people come and go and make their offerings to God in the treasury. He saw many rich people come along and put in large amounts of money. Then he saw a widow walk quietly up to the treasury box. She slipped two small coins into the box and quickly walked away. The coins together were worth about one penny. And yet, do you know what Jesus told his disciples? He said to them, "This poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury." Jesus went on to explain that all the other people he saw that had given gave what they had left over. But the poor widow had given all that she had. So even if we don't have a lot, we all have something we can share with those who have less than we do. And even though giving to others makes our piggy banks lighter, it makes us and God very happy. So if y'all join me, we'll say the prayer. Kind and generous God.
Kind and generous God.
Help us to be generous also.
Help us to be generous also.
Help us to share the good gifts.
Help us to share the good gifts.
That you have given us with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
I do have a snack for you.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here today, and good morning, Facebook friends that are watching us out there. Thank you for watching us and for receiving the word of the Lord. Our reading today, though, sharing I didn't get any little blue papers. I only have one. So I'm going to go from this one. Someone would like for us to pray with confidence and for confidence and guidance, for wisdom for those who serve in our church, for those with health problems, I pray for God's healing. For those with addictions, I pray for self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of awesome when we don't have anything that we are asking God for. So let's just soak in this moment. But we have this, and we have the time to be thankful for what God has already done for us, his salvation and his walking with us. So it is in the name of the Lord that I pray for this that has been lifted up in here, Lord, wisdom, a double portion of wisdom, my Heavenly Father. For those that are ill, Lord, your healing and your presence, Father. For those that are going through addictions, Lord, we pray, Father, for self-control and the infusion of the Holy Spirit. For we know, Lord, that they cannot do it without you. For all these things, Father, and for the fact that we're able to come together and praise your name and worship you, Lord, for the fact that we don't have to hide, for the fact that we can elevate your name, Lord, and declare your glory, we pray and we thank you. And it is in your Son's name that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Prayer of Illumination. Your word, O God, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. May your word be for us today life and action, beacon and gavel. In the name of the living word, we pray. Amen. Our sermon today comes from Matthew 6:19-21, and I have entitled it, What Do You Treasure? Do not store for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One manifestation of the divine being and the wisdom of Jesus is that with a few words, he could pierce the thought of man and come to the core of the issues that are really kind of troubling our hearts and definitely get to our minds, and we just don't know how to make the best sense out of them. I want to tell you that even today, Jesus knows everything about you. There is nothing that you do, think, or want to do, or want to be that he doesn't know. He has your life in the palm of his hands, and he knows everything about you. That's kind of like, you know, overwhelming. When I was little, and the nun says that Jesus knew everything about me, I said, everything? I just, well, okay. So I say this because we are to listen to the word of Jesus. We are to listen to the message that Jesus sent us with people like me, your pastor, sometimes through music, sometimes through a friend. But we are to pay special attention to the words of the Lord. A few years ago, I sold what in my family we referred as the big house. That's where my children had grown up. I had this huge garage sale because I was downsizing. And as I took all the stuff out of the closet, I found that I had 7 cake stands. Why I had 7, I don't know. I do remember that they were all pretty, so I'm assuming that as I found them, I said, oh, I must have that one. That's so pretty, and forgot about the other ones. Today, I don't even bake anymore. But I gotta tell you, I have to confess, I still have one because I couldn't go cold turkey without a cake stand. Just in case I ever bake or something, I have a cake stand. You know, it's one of those things. The challenge of too much stuff is something that afflicts many of us and something that I still struggle with even today. The urge to store, to collect, to hoard, or to treasure often defines reason or logic. We tend to hold on to stuff and it becomes part of our emotional baggage. And in my case, when God moves me, appointment to appointment, I have to move the stuff with me. The worst part is that there are fees to moving these things. And that extra baggage costs money. And if you helped me move in June, I know that you're saying to yourself, she did not learn the lesson. But I have downsized when you guys help me. In his book, Jesus and Money, Ben Witherton writes about our gospel lesson this morning. And he points out that the heart is the control center of the human personality, the center of thought, feeling, and will. Think about that. This parable suggests that whatever one counts as treasure, whatever one values most, is the ultimate expression of our character. Jesus talked about money and wealth frequently. Some studies of the gospel points out that he talked about wealth over 500 times in the New Testament. For Jesus, it was a window into one's priorities. What you did or what you didn't do with your resources pointed towards your approach to God. Part of our culture and economy today encourages us to seek to live simply. Some interpret that as a negative. We assume that simplicity means a lumpy bed or an undependable car. But another way to look at this is to see simplicity not as the lack of something, but instead as freedom. Freedom from the pressures of debt and freedom from the complexity of having more than we actually need. Leola? Leola will be passing with her helpers a little gift that I have for you. Please take one with you. And if you feel that you have someone that would benefit from it, take one for them too. One question that might help us all define and refine our mission is to ask, what do you treasure in your life? How do you want to be remembered? What are you leaving behind that would really count? I would expect that most of us would say family, children, parents, friends, a well-worn-out book that changed our lives, a wedding ring given and received, a memory of joy. These are some of the things that we might treasure. Once you have identified what you treasure, ask yourself, where are you spending your time? Does it balance with what you treasure? If you say you love your family, spend your time there. If you say you love the church, contribute to make it and to make their ministry better. If you say you want peace and justice, then work for it. If you say you love Jesus, spend time making disciples for Christ. This is something that all of us have been given the ability to do, and you simply do it by telling others your story. For this can be treasures stored in heaven. There's an old story about a woman that was blessed by God. Her name was Hetty Green, and she's remembered today as a miser. She died in 1915, leaving an estate value at over $1 million. But she always ate cold oatmeal because she believed that it cost too much to heat it up. Her son had to suffer through a leg amputation unnecessarily because Hetty wasted too much time looking for a free medical clinic. Hetty Green was wealthy, but she chose to live as a pauper. Crazy? Maybe. She was so foolish that she hastened her own death when she suffered a stroke by becoming so excited over a discussion about the cost of drinking skim milk. Hardy had been blessed, but she did not become a blessing to others. And today she is remembered for all she did not do. Hardy had a treasure in this life, and it was called money. Hardy's heart was devoted to her treasure. Jesus was correct. Our heart will be devoted to that we treasure. Therefore, Jesus challenged us to store our treasures someplace other than here in this life. He encouraged us to place our treasures in heaven. In 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19, Jesus told Timothy, "Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." Well, this passage, Timothy was being instructed to say it to those who were rich at that time. We must not forget that everyone in this life has a treasure, and that there is always someone who is poorer than we are. In this passage, God's first command to us is to treasure him and not the uncertainty of riches. That is the first step to storing treasures in heaven. We are to fix our hope on him because he supplies every good thing. The second step to storing treasures in heaven is to do good, to be significant in other people's life, and to be generous. Today, our heart is being challenged to really think through this question and to evaluate if our heart is seeking after self or after a real, vibrant relationship with God. In a lot of ways, we can put on many masks, so people perceive us as spiritual or godly, when in reality, deep in our hearts and in our private lives, we struggle with fears. We struggle with temptations and desiring the things of the world, looking for the praise of man instead of glorifying God with all that we do and with all that we have. In this passage, Jesus directly addressed the heart by asking the question, "Where is your treasure?" He says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The scripture teaches that the heart is the control center for life. A person's life is a reflection of his heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Therefore, we must guard our hearts and watch over our hearts so that our hearts will follow hard after the things of God, not when we have a chance or when we think we should, but to follow hard over the things of God. And we're not to be distracted for the things of this world. In this message, I ask three questions. One is, where is your treasure? I'm asking this, and the second question answers the first one. Where is your heart? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The third question to ask ourselves is, where is our focus? What are our eyes focused on? Are they focused on the things that are seen or the things that are unseen? The final question to be addressed is, who or what are you serving? God or man? Jesus is asking us to repent, to change our minds about these things, to live a life of faith, and to serve the one true God. Are we doing that? And how are we doing that? Where is your treasure? Are you earthly minded or heavenly minded? Are you investing in the future eternity to come, or are you investing in the here and now? Are you absorbed with the temporary instead of the permanent? What do you deem valuable? Because what you deem valuable shows where your heart is. Maybe it is money and wealth. Maybe it is power and the desire to be recognized as a leader. Maybe it's looking spiritual on the outside so that people think that you have it all together. Maybe it is popularity and acceptance through nice clothes, a bigger home that you need, or the latest car. Maybe it is your family and how you have raised great kids. Here, Jesus is calling us to change our minds from the temporary to the eternal, from the things that are passing by to the things that are permanent. At the end of our lives as believers, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our lives here on earth. So the question arises, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? The answer is by giving and by living the way God is asking us to, and by following after him in all that we are, in all that we have, and in all that we do. By trusting him above all else, while you do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can. And that starts by you loving your neighbor as yourself. If a man has a need for a shirt and you have an extra one, give him one. You start by being a cheerful giver, honoring God in your marriage, sharing the good news of the gospel with those around you, seeding into your church so that the word of God can be spread into the lives of the own church, so that the broken can be made whole and the lost can be found. We read in Luke 12, 13, and 21 the parable of the rich fool. The parable tells of a rich man who had yielded a great crop. He decided to tear down his old barns and build new ones, bigger barns. Then after he's done, he decides to retire, thinking that he has enough stored up to last for many, many years. Now, he says, I can sit back and relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But what happened? God calls him a fool and says that this life, his life, will be required of him that day. Jesus completes the parable by saying, you fool, who will get everything that you have worked for? And he says, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. He's a fool. So many of us long for the day we can sit back and enjoy our fortune. After all, we have been saving for retirement and take the path of easiness. There's nothing wrong with that. It is part of God's gift to you. You know how? Because he's giving you the gift of time to enjoy it. So there's nothing wrong with working hard, saving, even when it has been handed down from your parents and grandparents. What a blessing that you have been able to to come to this point in your life and be able to sit back and enjoy the time that you have. But this particular man was ruled by his wealth, thinking of all he had accumulated, only to die that night and see his wealth squandered and split up. He was unable to take it with him. So are we. Last week I told you that everything you had, big or small, belonged to the Lord. And today I ask you, what do you treasure? You already have in your hands a little treasure box. If you press it, you can open it. I'm giving you this so that in your quiet time at home, you can reflect on the sermon. But if you remember nothing else, remember the words, what do you treasure? Maybe you might want to write it down and put it there. Every once in a while, open it and remind yourself that you're really trying to store treasures for heaven and not for here. No one can tell you how to act, how generous to be, how much you should help, or how much you should do. All of that is within you, and all of that comes from your commitment to God. I think that it's important that this week we kind of reflect on what is our treasure. What are we holding inside the little box? Again, if you squeeze it, it'll open, and you can just put in there a whole bunch of stuff. Because you do have much to treasure. But all those treasures are for heaven. And all the good you can do is to be done in here. Let us help. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as the God of creation, the maker and sustainer of all things. All things belong to you, for you made them. The gold and the silver are yours, as are the cattle on a thousand hills. God, help us to get our priorities right and understand and appreciate that every blessing we have comes only from you. A blessing that goes beyond this life and it goes into eternity. Lord, help us to gain heavenly treasures, wealth that is not measured in dollars and cents, but in relationship and in our relationship with you. I pray for each of this, your beloved, today. Father, I ask that you will show them the unrivaled charms of Jesus. I ask that they will appreciate him as the pearl of great price that a man sold everything to buy. I ask that they will say, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. This we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. If there's any one of you that have not given your life to Christ, and you would like this moment to be it, I'll be standing right here. You're welcome to come, and I'll pray with you and for you. And if not, you are welcome to call me, meet with me during the week. And those on Facebook that are listening to us out there, if you would like a visit from me, please give me a call, and I will be happy to go and see you and talk to you.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to 2128 and stand as we sing together. Come and find the quiet center.
Come and find the quiet center in the crowded way we lead. Find the frame where we are freed.
be at peace and simply be. Silence is a friend who claims us, cools the heat and slows the pace. God it is who speaks and names us, knows our being, touches base, making space within our thinking, lifting shades to show the sun, rising courage when we're shrinking, finding scope for faith begun. In the spirit, let us travel, open to each other's pain. Let our loves and fears unravel, celebrate the pace we gain. There's a place for deepest dreaming, there's a time for heart to care. In the spirit's lively scheming, there is always room to spare.
And now receive this blessing from the Lord. May God bless you, providing you with a listening ear. May Christ bless you, giving you the words you need to truly follow in His way. May the Holy Spirit bless you, instilling in you the boldness to seek God's grace and mercy. May the triune God bless you and give you peace. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you
thank you.